Coming up is Tampa, the epicenter of the professional sports scene. And is Sal happier when the Cowboys don't play until Monday night, at least? We're going to find out next. It's the Bill Simmons Podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer partner of the NBA. It's just what you need to sit back and enjoy the game. And they're also getting fans closer to the game than ever. You can win exclusive NBA prizes like courtside seats, signed memorabilia, and more. I love Michelob because of how light it is. It's only 95 calories with 2.6 carbs. You know what the perfect time for Michelob Ultra is? A little doubleheader, a little NBA doubleheader. Right at first half of the first game. I don't know, West Coast time, that's usually about 5 o'clock, 5:30, perfect time for a beer. You can do it. Grab a pack to enjoy today. Learn more and enter for your chance to win at MichelobUltra.com/courtside, LDA 21 and up. We're also brought to you by TheRinger.com and the Ringer Podcast Network. If you're getting into the election, I would highly recommend the Bakari Sellers podcast. He has been crushing it the last few months, and he is going to be coming up right after the debate, a live reaction podcast. We also have the Press Box, old friends Brian Curtis and David Shoemaker. They will be reacting right after the debate as well. So if you can't get enough political coverage, try those two out. Coming up, Sal and I are going to break down week 6 NFL, look ahead to week 7, talk a little baseball playoffs, to first Pearl Jam. All right, Sunday night, Cousin Sal is here, and we decided to wait to start taping until after a baseball game. Sal, baseball's back.
It was too intense. It was too intense. We have, Justin Turner was an ex-Met, and Mookie Betts was ex-Red Sox. I guess that was enough reason to tune in. But no, it felt like real playoff baseball. You're right. Couldn't turn it off.
It was really good. The games were great all week. And then especially this weekend, and the two yesterday were great. I couldn't believe how much baseball I watched this weekend. I definitely wasn't expecting it. I sat out this season basically, so I was picking up stuff as I went along. But I mean, I don't know whether we start with the Dodgers or the Braves, because yet another devastating Atlanta sports collapse. I actually power walked with Rembert Brown a couple days ago around LA for 3 hours. And we were talking about the Braves. And
what?
It was feeling good, yeah. And he was like, I just know the other shoe's going to drop. The Atlanta fans are in a dark place. And then on the flip side, the Dodger fans, you know, since 1988, and especially the last 12 years, they're in a dark place too. So it was almost like the baggage series. And the Dodgers just had less baggage, I guess.
We talk about that a lot, right? Is it better to be like a Browns fan or a Detroit fan where you just never win, or a Dodger fan where you just barely miss getting over the hump because the team cheated or whatever else happened? But it's going to be a good series. It's going to be, I worry for Kershaw. I've gone through this a million times. I don't think there's an athlete like him in any sport where the postseason numbers not even don't match up to the regular season. Pick a basketball player. Like, could you even pick one that's close? Like, his ERA is double what it is normally.
I mean, there's a smidge of James Harden, but it's not even close. Like,
he doesn't go 2 for 20. You know what I mean? No. He doesn't go like 4 for 24 or something. What you're saying, but I don't think anyone's close.
When he got knocked out of game 4, and then the floodgates open when the reliever came in and they cut to him on the bench, and it was just like basically this Kershaw mannequin from the last 9 years of just that kind of shell-shocked, bummed out look. That felt so bad for him. I mean, look, I don't have a dog in this race. I'll end up betting on it, but between Mookie and the Dodger fans I have in my life who I really like, and then the Kershaw piece, it's hard not to root for them. I know they spend a million kajillion dollars. It's not like they're a Cinderella story or anything, but
Yeah, and specifically with Kershaw, like I feel as bad as I can for someone who makes $31 million a year. Although that's a pittance, according to if you follow Dak Prescott's career. So I don't know. I don't know what to think anymore. $31 million. I think it's a lot.
Well, it was funny watching even today, Dave Roberts, who has a checkered history in these postseason games. And this one, he was kind of pulling the right strings. And even we were texting before the ninth about, would they leave Urias in or not? Would they bring Kenley Jansen in? And I was like, leave him in, six straight outs. But yeah. I think Roberts in the old days probably brings Jensen in. Like, this is our guy. Got to do it.
Panicked. Yeah. I guess Jensen had a lot of work. He was great, especially the latter part of this week. But I guess he had too much work to just go right to him in the ninth. But he was definitely warming up. It's going to be great. You watch the Rays more closely than I do because they're in your division. And I know you got fantasy guys on that team. But they have... not a lot of holes in that lineup, but they're good for three extra foul balls per at bat too, right? They're like, they're tough outs all through 1 through 9.
And they have like 20 guys who throw 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers still have the Kenley thing looming over them, which I know he looked good this week, but they're still, you know, I think the biggest winner was baseball because they were so close to that.
Yeah,
that Rays Braves World Series that I don't know what would happen. It's shades of almost like the 1995 Stanley Cup, that Devil's Trap year.
Yeah, right.
Where it was like this before after for where hockey was as a popular sport. I think they really needed Dodgers in there. And Mookie is somebody that should be a bigger star. I mean, I obviously I'm biased and spent a lot of the last few years watching him, but the guy's just so electric. He's so magnetic. And he's
great.
Like,
tonight.
Oh, yeah. Every game he was doing one thing, right? And even like when he had that hit, it ended up not turning out to anything, but it was like, I knew he was going to get a double. That hit in the gap where most people pull up and he's of course he is. He's like the best base runner, the best outfielder.
Yeah.
He has the best at bats.
Speaking of, the Braves might be the worst base runners, and that's maybe why they're going to be watching the World Series. But it was exciting. There was everything. There was like plays at the plate. There was had a little of everything. Once the Dodgers got to six games, they did MLB a favor. Obviously, they did MLB a favor by going forward. But once there was like two games Friday, like this is gonna get good, and it was.
I wagered. I had a Tampa Bay.
You did
Dodgers parlay. It was like $225, you know, whatever that percentage was. It was higher than 2-1.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel good about the Dodger game until the pickle play.
Right.
And then when Mookie robbed that dude for a home run, I was like, all right, if you have a team dramatically fuck up a pickle play and get and somehow get two outs and then Mookie steals a homer, now I'm operating with an extra three runs. And it just felt like, it was better. But then Bellinger hits the go-ahead homer and separates his shoulder. It seemed like
no doubt
the celebration, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think the director might have separated his shoulder. Didn't even go to the ball. It's like, we're going to watch Bellinger round the bases. I know it's probably out, but can we see where the ball lands? I don't know.
Right.
It was good.
I was texting with CC and Ryan Rucco, who host the R2C2 for us. CC is hilarious during these games. Mm. But I was asking him, did they get rid of the code in the bubble? Because
which CC? Sabathia?
CC Sabathia.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I don't know. You say CC, like everyone. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, of course. Of course, CC Sabathia. All right.
I was asking him, did they dump the code for the bubble? Because anytime somebody hits a homer now, they're reacting like Manny Ramirez in 2003.
Right.
Like it's 7 seconds before they even start running. They're looking at the dugout. They're pointing. Mm-hmm. And then every time there was a big strikeout in either series, the pitchers like doing the wild thing, Charlie Sheen, triple fist pump, scream. And I really like it. I don't know why this can't be baseball. But CC was saying that this is what Dominican winter baseball is like, where it's just like everything is high intensity, celebration.
Oh, really?
Just make this baseball. This would really help if this just was baseball.
You know what I missed, and we forgot all about it? I think the pandemic saved the Astros as the villain. You know, it came up a little as they got momentum in these series here. The Astros, I remember we were like, oh, they're going to get plunked like four times a game. They got hit 23 times in the regular season. The Mets got hit 45 times. The Cubs had 52 hit by pitches. Like, the Astros weren't even close. I guess they had 7 in the postseason, but it's unbelievable that they were less than half of the top hit by pitch leader. What
do you think that was because of the Joe Kelly thing that maybe teams were afraid that guys would get suspended?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, but no one, poor Cubs and Mets, what the hell they ever do? I'm glad the Mets are getting hit by pitches, but they didn't have to abide by the Joe Kelly rule, I guess.
It didn't take me long to work up a lot of hatred toward the Astros. I even yesterday I did a Dodgers Astros parlay with the sole purpose of like, either I put my stink on the Astros or if they win, at least I win money. But it was like, it's such an easy team to root for. So many garbage can jokes you can make during the games.
Yeah.
But Tampa's really good. I mean, it's just like one guy after another, good athletes and a lot of power arms.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's going to be good. Impressive teams. They start Tuesday, right? Tuesday,
what
Wednesday.
Do you got for a World Series line first?
Well, I was just looking there. I'll jump in. If one comes up, it should it just happen. So
we'll have one over within the next probably hour, right?
For sure.
Speaking of Tampa.
Yeah.
Before we do that, I just love Mookie Betts. It really hurts. It hurts, but I'm also happy for him. I feel like, you know, it's like we were married, but we had to break up for reasons that wasn't anyone's fault. And now it's just like, I just want him to be happy. It's a little different than how I feel about Tom Brady. The Mookie thing, he deserves it. He's the most important guy in that team. My team was stupid enough to lowball him initially and never really treat him with the proper respect. And he's just such a great baseball player. All the Dodger fans in my life just continue to go bonkers about him.
It's so funny. Who do we do this with? Oh, so Mookie's okay. You love Mookie. You love Rondo, but you were not rooting for Tampa to connect with Gronk today. That's for sure.
No, I'll tell you this. I can't root against Gronk.
Can't root against Gronk. Okay.
No, so I love Gronk.
Ball's
I
in love his area. Gronk. You want him to catch it.
Yeah. Tom. I'm betting on Tampa, so I'm not as spiteful.
I see. All right.
I still feel like he kind of wanted to get out last year for reasons I don't fully understand.
Well, but I don't know how you want to start. Maybe we'll start with your team or not, but
no, let's start with the Tampa because working theory.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa has become the new Boston.
How do you mean?
So Brady shows up September 2001, his first start for the Pats. We proceed to rip off two incredible decades. We make 12 titles. We win 12 titles. We make 17 finals. Every team we have has some sort of iconic version of the team, at least locally, all the way through till he leaves. He shows up at Tampa this spring. They win the Stanley Cup. The Rays make the World Series. And they look like the NFC favorites. Like, this is fucking weird.
Right. It is.
You don't
strange.
Think this is weird?
And also, you mentioned 2001. Not to go back to the Patriots, this is the first time in October they don't have a winning record since 2001, right? Or 2002? It's right in there. There's a lot of weirdness. If you juggle the numerology, you'll just go crazy. But I didn't know what to make of that. I know. Well, you had Tampa. I had Green Bay. So I'm going to make excuses. But I don't want to say the game was fixed. But what the hell happened? Like, Rodgers looked terrible. And it wasn't even one of those games where he was really pressured all game. He started to get pressured at the end. But, you know, with no Vita Vea and you know, we know Dominican Sue's on this team and they have some players defensively. But, my God, what? I felt like they gave him that game. Like, it's almost like people talk and say, there's no good teams in the NFC. And they're like, all right, we'll fix that. This isn't your game, Aaron. Throw a pick six and throw another one that comes close to a pick six. I don't know. I'm a baby when it comes to this, but I don't understand how they got railroaded today.
I talked myself into Tampa after hearing Warren Sharp's theory about how every week the Packers managed to go against a team that didn't have their biggest weapon for the first 4 weeks. Because they had Atlanta, Julio's out. New Orleans, Michael Thomas is out. Detroit, Galladay was out.
I heard that too, but Devontae Adams has been out all these games too. So
no, well, that's the counter. But at least like, what we didn't know is whether their defense was any good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hadn't true. Really been tested yet, especially the quarterbacks they played. Like, it wasn't like a murderer's row.
Well, but and you talk about defense. What was Brady threw for 166, right? Am I wrong?
But they didn't really
Rodgers
have the ball.
Threw for 130 for 160. I know, but for this quarterback matchup, they combined for like 320 yards. It was sort of disappointing. They didn't have the ball.
The key guy was Ronald Jones.
Yeah.
He was really good.
Where does he come from?
We do this every year. Sometimes teams have bad weeks. This game meant more to Tampa. They're 10 days rest. They're coming off a loss. Green Bay's feeling great about themselves. They haven't lost yet. It wasn't a must win for them.
That's true.
So it was a classic like incentive game. It was like that Niners game, which people sniffed out.
Yeah.
Right? People were like, that line is 6 points off. Mm-hmm. All of us kind of stared at it. And then it went from 3.5. Where did it end game time?
It was right around 2.5. So yeah, you had to buy it up to 3. The thing I'll say about Tampa, no penalties. We saw them over 100 yards of penalties last week. We know last year they led the league in penalties and zero. So you got zero penalties or 20, 25 yards in penalties, they'll be in every single game.
I have liked Tampa's defense this whole year. Mm-hmm. I like what I've seen. I think at least they've been super frisky every week and they've had some dominant stretches in games. I don't think they've put it together entirely. I was with you. I thought when they lost the nose tackle, that would be a bigger factor than it was. But they just, you know, if you're not pressuring Brady, which the Packers didn't, he looked really good today. I got to say it. I've been pretty hard on him the first 4 weeks, but he had time to throw. He was putting the ball all over the place. The only guy who was probably bummed out was Mike Evans.
I was going to say, what did he end up at, 30 yards or fewer? I don't know what it was.
And he's kind of like a decoy. Mm-hmm. At this point, but
well, they'll take a win like that every time.
But if you were looking at the NFC right now, I you know, it's going to keep changing depending on who gets injured, who's the COVID case of the week, all that stuff. But Tampa probably brings the most to the table out of all the NFC teams, I think.
So there's three, right? It's Tampa, New Orleans, and Green Bay, and not the version of Green Bay we saw today, right? So it's not. I mean,
Seattle, I'm sorry, respect to Russ.
Yeah, I don't know why. By the way, you have Russ on. Did you play him any of the old voicemails you used to leave me? The drunk, the hustle and bustle? No, that didn't come up at all.
it was great. He said we should go to dinner at some point. It was wonderful. It was everything I wanted from my first date with Russ.
That's great. That is terrific. No, I enjoyed it. I was just wondering if a drunk email is gonna pop up at any point. Or drunk voicemail.
let's take a break and then we'll come back and we'll talk about who the best NFC team is. This episode is supported by State Farm. Your first reaction after an accident, probably a swear. Your first reaction after you lease or buy a car and you get into it for the first time, probably just sheer delight. Really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to somebody. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. This episode is supported by State Farm. Your first reaction after an accident, probably a swear. Your first reaction after you lease or buy a car and you get into it for the first time, probably just sheer delight. Really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to somebody. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. All right, best NFC team. So Seattle's 5-0. Bears 5-1, Packers 4-1, and then the Bucks and the Rams are 4-2. The Bears, I will say this, House did like the Bears this week because I like the Panthers. And House was like, the Bears defense is good.
I like them too.
And it was kind of planted in the back of my head. And watching that game, like they really made things hard for Carolina. That was a legit move. And Carolina did some dumb shit. Yeah. They were inside the 10 twice. They ended up getting 2 field goals. Sly missed a long field goal. Cairo Santos, didn't you have him once?
I have once, like 3 times, I think. Yeah. Oh, the Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Oh, I thought you meant my fantasy team. Yeah.
He made a 55-yarder, so that was a 6-point swing there. And, you know, there's versions of that game where I think Carolina does better, but the Bears D was good.
Just forget it. Don't even look at their record. Everyone wants to look at their record and be like, they're not good. I'm betting against them. This is the week. What was it? There was like a 2-2. I can have Carolina minus 2. They can win by a field goal, and I'm going to make money. Where do I sign up? But you and I talk about it, and then everybody seemed to be on board with Teddy Two Gloves. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's a savior. Throw him in the MVP discussion. They don't need McCaffrey. They got Mike Davis. I was like, let's calm down. The Bears are weird. The Bears perform like voodoo on you. Tom Brady forgot how to count to 4 when he's playing this team. You can't even look at a box score and figure out why Chicago won. Like Foles had 198 with a touchdown and interception. I don't know. Montgomery had 58 yards rushing. The top receiver, I think, was Robinson with 53 yards. Nothing adds up. And then at the end of the game, they're either winning or losing by three. And it is, I guess, because of that defense, right? We talk about Mack and Hicks and all these guys are all over the place every game.
It's a really an impressive list of playmakers in that team.
Yeah.
Like, I said this Thursday. That was the team Le'Veon Bell should have gone to. I actually think if he has anything left in the tank, he really could have helped them. Montgomery's fine.
Yeah. They had odds on this. The Bears were the favorite, pretty substantial favorite, like 3-1 odds. So, and then the next team was like 5-6, and the Chiefs were right in that 650 range. But yeah, the Bears made most sense. I don't know why some teams shy away from it and some don't.
The rookie receiver they have is okay. He can make a catch or two, but it always seems like Robinson is the only real guy who can actually like that 3rd and 11, 3rd and 13 type thing. The rookie tight end they had made a couple of plays today. Cole Kmet.
These Notre Dame guys are unbelievable. Between Claypool and Cole Kmet, that they're just monster corn fed. Good, great blockers and great receivers. And you're going to tell me how the Patriots should have had him 3 rounds earlier.
I'm just going to tell you that there was some text today about with my dad and with Hench about, because we passed that guy in the draft and we needed a tight end. And we're like, why are we passing on that guy? And then they're like, no, we got some later. And we picked two guys who don't play. Like they literally, I haven't seen them make one catch.
Right.
So yeah that's a bummer.
It's rough for you guys. Well, we'll discuss it when you want to talk. I feel bad. My team's in first place, regardless of what happens tomorrow night. And yours is might be the third best in the AFC East.
So can we let's keep talking about the NFC. I'm not ready to talk about my team yet.
I don't know who the best team is. I know everybody's saying, oh, there's five better. There's almost maybe five better AFC East teams than the best NFC East team. I don't know if I'm ready to say that. I don't know if the Chiefs are better than the Packers.
I don't agree with that.
I know they beat the Ravens, but the Packers, this was not the Packers that we're going to see the rest of the year.
It's Brady's in a good spot.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're just talking about, was it a good football decision to leave New England and go to Tampa? The answer was yes.
For sure.
Regardless of the Belichick is a better coach than Bruce Arians, although it certainly didn't seem like it today. But the Pats, the last couple drafts have just been bad.
Right.
And Hench and I were texting about, like, I would say the last two drafts, how many impact receivers have been in the last two drafts? Feels like at least 12, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the dudes this year, that guy Jefferson on Minnesota is unbelievable. Phenomenal.
Really Judy good guy. Really good Ruggs. Guy to keep on your bench with 43.7 points.
Oh, that's my really God. Yeah. Does that happen to you?
It did happen to me, yes.
we had Metcalf and Debo and McLaurin. You could go on and on. There was at least 12, 13 guys. And then there's been a bunch of good tight ends, too, that were in the last two drafts. Mm-hmm. And the Pats just didn't get any of them.
Right.
It's just rough because you watched the game today and Cam wasn't right. And you're thinking like, all right, who are playmakers? He's throwing to Ryan Izzo. Mm-hmm. He's throwing to all these random wide receivers. Jules looks like he's on his last legs. And then they have five mediocre running backs that they're just platooning. And the only time it was exciting at all was when Cam was scrambling.
Yeah, for sure. The under Edelman 1.5 pass attempts should hit every game, right? He shouldn't throw the ball twice. When you have to go to the gimmick twice, to stretch the field because no one's getting open downfield. I felt bad. I actually did feel bad. I was like, oh my God, they have to do this. They have to try these gimmick plays to stay in this game. And it didn't work. It almost did. It just came up short. But Broncos, give them a little credit. That's a frisky defense. It's a very weird
This is big for you, that Broncos thing.
I know, right. Of course, as soon as I have the Patriots on every moneyline parlay, the Broncos bite me in the ass. But with Chubb, Justin Simmons, you know, all these guys, Kareem Jackson, they play hard every snap. And then, you know, you were good because you held them to what? 6 field goals? Is that what it was? Did they score a touchdown?
Yeah, I thought they dominated the game.
Yeah.
And the thing that worried me, and I was talking to my Pats friends about this, it wasn't like a fluky game. Like they were actually just better in they were better offensively. They're better defensively. They had better pass rush. They were better. Their secondary covered better.
Right.
Special teams was better. We got out coached. Belichick had a couple massive brain farts in that game too. Like there was one play he declined the penalty that would knocked right. the, and it's like, they have McManus. He's good from 58. Yeah. What are you doing?
Right.
And McManus got that field goal. It went to 18-3, which was like significant.
And then you're out of it. I just don't think you'll ever lose to a quarterback again who was 10 for 24. That's what he was, Locke. And he had two interceptions, right?
It's an embarrassing loss. They have no Melvin Gordon, who had a really, you know, a newsworthy week. He had a DUI. Then he got, then he had a strep throat. Mm-hmm. Fant doesn't play. Mm-hmm. And it just, like, that's a team the Patriots defense should have chewed up. And the Broncos were able to move the ball when they needed to.
Yeah, Lindsay broke out over 100 yards.
I'm worried that the Pats might not be that good, but I'm not going to go there yet. Because I will say this. I think we're learning that having COVID and then just coming back and playing whatever the sport is a bad idea. Because it's not just that you're not playing for those 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, but you're not like working out or doing anything. So you're basically starting, you're like the guy who gets the new treadmill on December 25th. Mm-hmm. And the next day is on the treadmill like, oh my God, I just want to kill myself. Cam was bad today. Mm-hmm. He was, I mean, he had 10 throws that had no chance where he was like 2 yards off, up, 2 yards up, grounders. Like he was awful.
Short-armed everything. I would agree with you if not for the effing Tennessee Titans. Like, how are they doing it? Their facility was closed 12 out of 14 days. Theoretically, they're not practicing and they come
out.
But
it wasn't any of their key guys though. It wasn't like Derrick Henry had COVID, right? Their best guys didn't have it.
But what about practice though? Does it matter or not? Does it just, I don't get it.
Do we think Tennessee wasn't practicing?
I think they were practicing. I want to blow the whistle on these teams. They should have two forfeits. Instead, they looked like the best in the league and got so lucky. And we had the Texans. I know I had the Texans plus +4. And to lose that game in overtime by 6, you got to be kidding me. I don't know if you're ready to move on from the Patriots, but.
Oh, I'm ready to move on from the Patriots. I had 4 gambling rules that I'm just going to add. I don't know if this is permanent, but just for 2020. Don't bet on a QB who just had COVID. That's one. Just mark that one down for future reference. When in doubt, bet against the Jets and bet against an injured Baker Mayfield. Those are two good things. Maybe even parlay them together.
Right.
And then never, ever think Romeo Crennel can win 2 straight games.
Good Lord. What? All right, so I know we argued about this last week when Minnesota went for it on 4.5 yards. You thought they should kick the field goal to go up 8. I think 0.5 yard is much different than 2.5 yards, especially when, like, Minnesota was running against them. I knew the Texans weren't going to. So I get the analytics, and I argue with, like, Todd Furman all the time about this. I get this, except for it never seems to work out. Like, in theory, I guess in a vacuum, this go for the kill and go up by 9 is the better way to go, but it doesn't pass the eye test when Crennel's holding up 2, right? You're like, that's the wrong thing. I haven't even done the math yet, but I know that's the wrong thing, whatever he's doing. Go up.
When he's holding up 2, it should be, I have to take a number 2. Yeah. Can we stop the game? I'm 73 years old. 2, I've got to do a number 2.
Peace, I'm out. I'm going to go shit in the
lineup. I had no dog in this race. I did not bet on the game.
Oh, I thought you had the Texans. You were, okay.
No, I stayed away last second because I just couldn't put money on Romeo Crennel to cover 2 straight weeks.
Yeah.
That was the dumbest non-cover I think I've ever seen in my life. First of all, this is another thing. I don't know if this is a gambling rule or what, but all the smart math that's come into football but is now being used by coaches who are trying to seem like it makes them smarter to do it. And it's like, you're losing the feel of the game. Like, if you actually watch the Houston Texan game, Houston was having a lot of trouble in those short yardage. Like, they were always, it was always like fighting for any 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, whatever.
Right.
And just the flow of the game, it didn't feel right.
That's it. Like, you just have to take that into account. You must take it into account. Otherwise,
it was so tough for them to move the ball.
I'm with you. I hate this Titans team. I don't know what's going on with it. I hate how good Tannehill is, and he is good. He's good. He's a top 10 quarterback now. He might be top 8 now.
If Rodgers had done what Tannehill did on that, I'm going to go up to spike it. No, I'm going to run back and throw it into the corner for A.J. Brown. That play was brilliant.
Yep.
And if Rodgers did that, the announcers would have just jerked each other off.
It never stopped.
They would have been like, that's it. Put your pants down.
Yeah.
We got to take turns on each other. That was unbelievable. Let's have a jerk party. What Tannehill does is like, oh, smart play by Tannehill. It's like that play was fucking brilliant. Like Dan Marino did that how many years ago? We're still talking about it.
Well, because everyone's in love with Derrick Henry too. So we're looking forward to the extra, the 2-point conversion, which actually did go to Henry, right? Lined up in the quarterback position. And the freaking defenders treated him like he was going to throw the ball. He got free reign to run.
You're talking about the game-winning touchdown.
Right.
So for the people listening at home, Texans getting four. They score a touchdown to go up 7. And there's how much time was left? 80 seconds?
Yeah, like a minute 20. Yeah.
And at that point, you're writing it in. Yeah. Except for Romeo Crennel's involved. You have to at least be a little careful.
Mm-hmm.
And the Texans get it to OT.
I
want to
go up 8 there. I agree with you. I want to go up 8 there. I didn't want to go up 8 with Minnesota. I don't know why. It's game to game. I think it's just a feel for it. And up 8, Tannehill, great. God bless him if he could drive the field with one timeout and then get the 2-point and then you go to overtime. But there was no doubt the Titans were winning by a touchdown when they won the toss, right?
I thought it was going to be the AJ Brown like 70-yarder or the Derrick Henry 75-yard run. It was much more painful.
Yeah,
because when they went to Henry in the shotgun, that play usually doesn't work.
Yeah,
I actually don't like that play because then the defense could just be like, oh, cool, and put everybody up. But
I swear to God, they thought he was going to throw it, and they were terrified that he was going to throw it and forgot to tackle him. I don't know what happened there.
I gotta say, Henry somehow was underrated heading into this year. And even in fantasy, like in our keeper league, he wasn't one of like the top 5 running backs.
I know it's a weird thing with him because the word gets out, oh, he doesn't heat up until like November or something, but he doesn't care about that shit. He's just throwing guys around all year, first 6 weeks.
I feel like he's bigger.
Yeah.
It's like Sly Stallone, Rocky 3 to Rocky 4. Like, something's different.
We're going to talk about that.
Something feels bigger about this dude. But yeah, he's in the MVP conversation now, I think.
I guess so. It's really hard for a running back these days. But
But other than Wilson, I don't think any QB has separated from the pack.
I liked Rodgers before today. He had 13 touchdowns and no interceptions. And like the last two guys that did that through 4 games won the MVP. So, but
Rodgers was bad.
It was really bad.
Those two picks were awful.
I didn't get it. I honestly thought he was just like keeping them in the game. Because of course it was the only freaking game other than the Dolphins Jets. We could talk about that forever.
Let's just talk about it now. That was like mail us a shit next time.
Yeah. Why do they hate us so much, the NFL? Why do we have 9 games? And I know you had your eye on the Colts Bengals. God bless you for not betting it if you're telling the truth. But, that was the one game DirecTV didn't show in the 8 box was the Colts Bengals. So I didn't pay attention. I didn't have money on it. You didn't have money on it. And it ended up being like the best game. And instead we have 2 games. And then as a result, we have 2 games in the late afternoon.
I had a tiny teaser with Washington and Cincy parlay money line. It was like 9-1.
I was in it.
Yeah, it was fun. I got my money's worth.
The Colts have to screw you anyway.
Well, the Bengals, Mixon got hurt. That's why they stopped scoring. Once that happened, they don't have an offensive line. They didn't have a good backup running back. But Rivers, I don't care.
Everyone hates him.
I feel vindicated by the don't put Phil Rivers in a tease rule. Because if you had a tease in that one, you're going nuts. I was texting you in house. I thought that was going to be his final quarter, the second quarter.
Yeah.
I thought Brissett came in for the second half. It was over. We never see Phil Rivers again.
It's funny. I have you texting me, don't you dare put Phil Rivers in a teaser. I have my other buddies, Degenerate Trifecta, texting me, don't you dare put Phil Rivers in the Hall of Fame. This will be disgusting. Like everyone hates on Phil Rivers. And then he ended up having good stats. He was like 29 for 44. He had like 370 yards or something.
I think these old QBs, if there's no pass rush, they can still look good. The problem is when they're pressured. That's what changes, I think, when you hit your late 30s, early 40s. Right. And I really want to see if Tampa can do this against a team that has a good pass rush, that's when I might believe. But yeah, the Romeo thing.
It just didn't seem right. I know. I don't care what the numbers say.
The math has gone too far because it's like, oh, the percentage. It's like, well, we're all watching the game. The game has a certain flow to it. All of us are watching this going, Houston's probably not getting this.
Right.
It's going to end up being the same Deshaun play that they just scored the touchdown on, but now they're running it again. Like that's, and that was exactly the play that they tried to run, but that was weird. Let's take a break. And then I have one more thing for you. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer partner of the NBA. It's just what you need to sit back and enjoy the game. And they're also getting fans closer to the game than ever. You can win exclusive NBA prizes like courtside seats, signed memorabilia, and more. I love Michelob because of how light it is. It's only 95 calories with 2.6 carbs. You know what the perfect time for Michelob Ultra is? A little doubleheader, a little NBA doubleheader. Right? First half of the first game. I don't know. West Coast time, that's usually about 5 o'clock, 5:30. Perfect time for a beer. You can do it. Grab a pack to enjoy today. Learn more and enter for your chance to win at MichelobUltra.com/courtside, LDA 21 and up. This episode is brought to you by SimpliSafe. Whenever someone mentions spring, you can't help but think of the word fresh. Spring brings fresh air, fresh beginnings, freshly cleaned homes. It's also a really great time to take a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security. I use it in my home and absolutely love it. By the way, summer's coming. No better time to maybe dip in to our friends at SimpliSafe than when you're leaving your house, your condo, your apartment, wherever you live. You're probably going to go somewhere for a while. Maybe it's a week. Maybe it's 2 weeks. Guess who's going to know that? Burglars. SimpliSafe, great because it protects your whole home. Uses advanced sensors and a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. Keep watch over your property day and night. 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. You can even check it out on your phone. Gives you peace of mind. You want peace of mind? Try SimpliSafe today. Risk-free, no contract, 60-day money-back guarantee. Get 20% off your system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplisafe.com/BS. That's simplisafe.com with two I's, simplisafe.com/BS. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Which fan base is most worried about their QB? I'm going to give you the following choices.
Can I raise my hand?
Minnesota, Cleveland, New England, Philly. Out of those four, who's the most concerned?
This year?
Right now.
Or
right now, this moment, listening. Those fans are listening to this podcast right now, and they're going, me, I'm the most concerned. I would say Minnesota, because I feel like the Cousins thing is very close to ending.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing I'll say. Let's make an agreement to never, ever say that Cousins or Goff, let's just take those two because they're the same guy. Cousins and Goff, they're back for good. And let's also not say they're done because no matter, it really just depends how your money is put on those guys, right? If you're going to bet Goff, he's probably going to, he's going to buzz you right in the ass almost 80% of the time. Same with Cousins. But, Cousins seems like he's not trying when he puts up these terrible numbers, right? Like you want to punch him in the face.
Yeah, there's a weird vibe with him when things don't go well.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine what it would be like to be a teammate. But again, I'm going to say this every week. It's hard for me to believe Jameis can't play for one of these teams we're watching. It really right. is. There's 12 teams that I feel like at least it would be a little more fun if he was on the team. Like when you watch Cleveland, I know Mayfield was probably hurt this week.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how much, but like they had no chance in that game. He was completely useless.
Right.
And it's hard for me to believe that he, like Jameis, well, you know, you can't gonna, at least be a backup.
Yeah, but he's on a team though. It's not, you make it like he's not
signed.
He's
a third stringer. Like there's 12 guys starting.
He'll be all right. He'll play this year. He's
going to
play.
It's ridiculous. The Minnesota thing, it feels like that's coming to a head. I don't know what they do. Because if anything, you... Cousins, if you're throwing away the season, Cousins is just good enough that you're not going to get a good draft pick.
Right.
So you do the thing where you just like release him or you keep your fingers crossed, hope it works out.
I mean, you say he's just good enough, but they're 1-5 now, right? They could lose 10 games, can't they?
I guess. And then the Philly thing, Wentz has this moment every game where you start thinking like, wow, I wouldn't be shocked if Jalen Hurts just came into the game right now.
Yeah. And there you see.
And then Wentz will rally, and then all of a sudden he looks good. He takes like incredible punishment.
Right.
Every game he gets the shit kicked out of him, and the team never dies. He's always like fighting back, but I'm never impressed as I'm watching it. Are you?
Right. No, it's like you dug this crazy hole that why should this even be? You're just screwing with our teasers right now. That's all you're doing. But They might be in trouble now. Sanders has a bad knee, right? That's what they say with him. And Zach Ertz has bad ankle problems. Like, those guys out, you're not going to see the 30-point games anymore.
Wentz is like the guy on the road trip who insisted on driving and gets lost.
Yeah, right.
And then it's like, Jesus, we're going to be 5 hours late. It's like, I got this. And then all of a sudden, pull some crazy move. And then all of a sudden, you're going to 85 on some side street. And it's like, you may pull this off.
It's your cousin Jimmy. That's who that is.
And then, and then you crash. Washed watch. I'm just going to do this every week now.
Oh, yeah.
We got Brady. It's like a 2 out of 10 this week. He looked pretty good. He threw some nice touch passes.
It was good.
Impressive.
It was good.
Yeah, I got to say, his hair has never looked darker or better. Did you see him the sidelines? He's grown in the back a little bit now.
Yeah, right.
Really nice full head of hair.
Oh, he said hi. He said he hugged and kissed everybody after that game too.
He did.
He did the rounds. Did about 20 minutes on the field.
Yeah, good. he probably intentionally gave himself COVID in like June to get it over with.
You think so?
So he'd be ready for the season. Yeah. He said, I'm just banging this out now.
He put that like in a celery shake or something?
Yeah. I still have Rivers at like an 8 out of 10. It'll never go lower than 8 to me. Flacco, I have as a 15 out of 10. I don't know if you saw any of that Jets game.
Flacco, I was thinking about it. Like, I think he could score 4 out of 100 drives. I think I could score 0. And I think like you and I would score 0. Like Tebow's probably 2. Flacco's 4. Flacco, you never any confidence. It's not all his fault. It's Flacco. It's Gore. That team's a disaster. They're cutting away to the GM Douglas every 35 seconds. So the Gase before or after the election?
Well, at this point, Gase is their biggest asset. Really trying to go 0-16, right?
Right, yeah. I guess so, right.
They haven't covered yet this year, which is...
0-6. Unbelievable.
Any team can go 0-6. But when you go 0-6 against the spread, as people are adjusting the lines to account for your confidence, and you're still crushing covers every week, or non-covers, pretty impressive. As we know, like, what's the worst anyone's done? Like, 3-13?
I think so. Well, the Texans were 0-6 in 2000. There hasn't been a team to do this since 2013, I don't think. So,
And it's funny because nobody wants to put Ryan Fitzpatrick in a tease, even though it was sitting there. I certainly did, and I looked at it.
Well, you should. They're the second best team in the AFC East. You should. Yours being third.
You love this. Both of our teams are fucked. Talk about... But we're going to guess the lines in a second. The Monday Night Football, we have 2 games, including your team.
Mm-hmm.
I love your team this week. I already have my bets in. The line seems to be moving, which makes me nervous.
Why are you doing that? You talked about Phil Rivers and quarterbacks that could do fine when there's no pressure. Andy Dalton is exactly what you're describing there. We have to see.
Great. Arizona has no pressure. They don't have Chandler Jones. They didn't have a good defense anyway.
We're beating them at the right time, I would say, but... I do worry this offensive line is not good. We're moving guys around who've never played center, even in high school. So I guess he took first team snaps this week. So that's good. But
he also has like 3 awesome receivers.
Sure.
And he has Zeke Elliott.
Right. Well,
I don't know.
And that's just that side of the ball. Kyler Murray is going to run like all over the place. I don't know what his over under rushing yards are, but lean over.
I think you're being too pessimistic. If Dak was playing this week and didn't have an ankle that was broken in half, you would be 4-point favorites.
Yeah, I sense that you think there's not a big difference between Dak and Dalton.
I just don't think it's a 6-point difference. Do you? You think it's worth 6 points to go from Dak to Dalton?
What is it now? Wait, is that 6? I didn't even think
initially
about it.
Initially, Arizona was favored by 2. And then now there's been Dallas action.
Right. Okay.
I don't understand that.
I don't love it. I'm sorry. The other game's good. Chiefs.
Yeah.
Bills.
So with Buffalo, it's interesting because we got to see Tennessee, and I know they won, but they didn't look great. And Houston really was able to move the ball on them, make some big plays, and it made me kind of even more skeptical of Buffalo. And then you think like the Rams should have beaten them. The Rams look terrible tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like we know this every year. That's one of the reasons we like the Niners, like the motivation thing. This was a kitchen sink. We have to win this Niners game.
Mm-hmm.
So not totally surprised to beat the Rams. But with the Bills, I don't feel like this is a kitchen sink game for them. It's just a big game. They're playing the Chiefs. For the Chiefs, they haven't played a great game yet. They
The Ravens game was pretty good for...
Oh, yeah.
Nothing happened the second half, but they did their damage when they needed to in the first half, right?
Right. I'm just thinking like the where everybody's been unlocked.
Right.
Because like they haven't unlocked Clyde yet.
Right. Yeah. He had like 10 touches last game or something.
I don't totally trust our offensive line yet. I don't know. I'm still not sold that they look like the same team of last year.
I'm with you. I think that's a safer bet, the Chiefs money line. But yeah, that's a good game because neither team wants to lose two in a row. But I think much like the Cowboys, the Bills are looking at that division and be like, we don't have to do a ton to win this thing, you know? No offense, but so who's it? It's a bigger game for the Chiefs, I think.
The Diggs trade, which everybody loved and everybody was raving about Diggs the first month, but wasn't Jefferson the guy they picked with the Diggs picked?
Yeah. With that pick? Yeah. That was the end of the first round. Yeah. That's what they got, right?
LSU. It would kind of be more fun if they had Jefferson and he was like 22 with Josh Allen.
Yeah, right. You're right.
All right, let's do guess the lines. All right, we're going to do guess the lines in 1 second. We use FanDuel for those lines. They are the same place that gives you same game parlays throughout the NFL season. FanDuel will refund the first same game parlay you lose on any NFL game each week up to $10. That means you can bet a different parlay risk-free every NFL week, all season long. Combine multiple bets from one game into a parlay, and that way the payouts are even bigger when you win. Here's an example. You can do the KC money line on Monday Night Football, along with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, will score the first TD. Maybe they'll try to get him going. If that happens, if both of those things happen, plus 856. If you like it, go ahead and bet it. You'll get $10 back if we don't win. Let's do it all season long. It's the only sportsbook app where you can play these same game parlays. Sign up with promo code BS so they know I sent you. Same game parlays, risk-free, all NFL season long, only on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Don't forget to use promo code BS when you sign up. Must be 21 plus, present in Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, West Virginia, Indiana, Colorado, or Iowa. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Terms apply. Gambling problem? 1-800-GAMBLER, West Virginia, 1800GAMBLER.net. Indiana, 800-9-WITH-IT. Colorado, 800-522-4700. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. What do you think of that? KC to win, Clyde first touchdown, almost 9-1 odds. Not bad.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, because you could probably get Clyde for the first touchdown at around 9-1 odds. So if you get him just any touchdown in the Chiefs,
touchdown, he's plus 600. But
is
with
it?
The Chiefs' money line, it's like 9-1. Yeah.
Oh, I see what little you're doing. Less oh, it is yeah, the yeah. first touchdown. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's good. I'll take that. Because
at some point, they got to unlock him, right? Because I don't think any of us have been like blown away by the first five Clyde games on the Chiefs.
Mahomes has Mahomes has scored the first touchdown twice, like rushing, and that gets like 18-1 or something. But yeah, I like your thing. Yeah, bust him up by the goal line.
All right, Thursday night. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Those are two really good games tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they. Thank you for all the COVID Tennessee Titans. Now we got two Monday games. Everything's still screwed up.
Yeah, it just feels like so every week we're going to have.
It's going to be a dumping ground Monday Night Football, and potentially Tuesday.
Yeah. Thursday night, Eagles, Giants. This is in Philly.
Yeah.
I can't say the Giants look good today from the pieces I saw. They got a big play from their defense, which certainly helped them. Daniel Jones continues to make one like truly horrific play a game. This time it was an interception in the end zone.
Yeah, really.
That was just god awful. That they actually, even a field goal probably would have put that game away.
And of course, they don't cover, right? They win and don't cover. They kill you in every pool. They should win. But Daniel Jones is weird. I think he had like 75, 74 yards rushing. Like, always does one good thing and then like one terrible thing. I don't know. I like to see him. I don't know what we're thinking if he's ever going to put a great game together, but I'd love to see it.
Well, he probably murdered their Trevor Lawrence chances today.
Yep.
You'd think, right?
That was going to be it. I love that idea of the Jets and Giants splitting Trevor Lawrence. He's a MetLife lifer. It's not going to happen now.
We're not out of our Jacksonville bet.
No?
They've quietly fallen to 1-5 for worst team in the league.
So how many have 1 or 0?
Cincinnati's 1-4-1. Jacksonville and Houston 1-5, Chargers 1-4, Giants.
Oh, Jesus, and Minnesota. Minnesota too. Oh, there's a lot.
Giants,
of teams.
Washington, Minnesota, Atlanta. Yeah.
Oh, so there's, man, so it's like eight teams there.
Active sweepstakes.
Everybody wants Trevor Lawrence.
I have the Eagles favored by 6 over the Giants.
All right, we split it. It is 5.5. I said 5. Ugh, I want to put them on a teaser. I think this is where they make their move. Isn't it? I know they have these injuries offensively, but they're going to lose.
They're really banged up.
Yeah.
I don't remember a football season with this many injuries / think guys up in the air, not knowing who's going to play.
Right.
It's so hard to keep track of. It's 32 teams.
Oh,
I can barely remember my kids' names at this point.
How relieved were you when you woke up this morning and found out that every game was going to play?
It was great. I went, made coffee, came back, laid in bed with my wife and my dogs, watched an episode of Yellowstone. It was a great morning.
There is nothing.
Didn't have to do 200 fantasy switches.
I have to tell you, you're running this league, this fantasy league, and to see you, a quarter of a billionaire, scrambling to make everybody's needs, everyone's dumb fantasy, COVID-related fantasy needs from your stupid college buddies and me included. I'm in there. I'm an idiot too. And you're just like scrambling around trying to make everyone happy. You must be like, what the fuck is going on here? How did this happen?
It's great. That
was all right this morning though.
Sunday marquee game. Titans Steelers.
Yeah, that's the one.
It's in Tennessee. I think there's fans there, right? If it's in Tennessee, plus everybody probably already has COVID there.
Yeah.
Except for Clay Travis.
Clay goes to every game. He was there today too. Yeah.
Was he?
Oh yeah.
Is he wearing a mask?
I doubt it. Not in the pictures he was forwarding us. I was like, just celebrate the win. Hug everybody in the stadium. Really do it.
I think this is a 3-pointer. I have Titans by 3 over the Steelers.
You know, I had that too. You know who doesn't believe in the Titans?
Who?
Vegas and FanDuel. Steelers minus 1.5.
Oof. Well, they lost their best dude on defense today.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good. Devin Bush.
I mean, that by far their best dude.
I don't know. You think? I mean, TJ Watt's on every play. Minka Fitzpatrick seems to pick a ball like every other week.
He's the leader of the thing. Calls all the plays.
I know.
He can He can do the run. He can catch people. He can defend people coming out of the backfield. I don't know.
They are loaded, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh and Baltimore. How do they have good defenses every single year for like decades?
And the Minka Fitzpatrick trade was really good.
Yeah,
that guy's really good. He's always around plays.
No,
they killed the Browns.
He salivates when it plays a guy like Baker Mayfield, the guy like Minka Fitzpatrick. He's like, this is my day.
I still can't believe that line.
Why it was so low, right? It scared me away. I was like, this should be 6. It seems so fishy.
I bought the minus 130 just to get it to 3 so I didn't get screwed on the last second garbage time touchdown. But I was like really confident that.
Never had a worry. That was a great pick.
I don't get the Browns.
Baker, Jim Nance said Baker slow to get up about 350,000 times today.
It's weird how the announcers are just afraid to say that he's not that good.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, well you know, when they put him in space, but it's like they're talking about the coach's kid to the coach.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, no, Jimmy's good. Yeah, you know, you put him in space, he can make some stuff happen.
I think they want people to not tune out. By the way, that is the reason that people want to know about like why there were 2 late afternoon games. Every once in a while, the NFL does this. They'll have one game where they want everybody to watch, right? So that they can flex their muscles and say, hey, this rated so high. I don't know if you got that out of this game with the quarterbacks being just so-so, but that is the reason why only the Jets-Dolphins was the competitor for Tampa-Green Bay.
Well, there was another amazing piece to it. Speaking of flexing their muscles, they made Joe Buck. Joe Buck could have called a game 7 that was awesome with the Dodgers. And instead they're like, no, Joe, you're going to be announcing this random week 6 game that probably has no playoff implications at all.
Right.
We're going to have to do this instead. It's a bigger rating. So that some imposter Joe Buck showed up for game 7 and Joe Buck's doing this football game that's over in an hour.
Right.
You know, it's just that I thought that was weird. The other thing Fox did this year, these cartoons of the guys.
I know.
Yeah. What is going, and none of them look like the guys, and they're all like much more muscular. It's like all the guys are on major steroids.
I'll look into it, but yeah, I wonder if you have to pay extra if they look anything like the person you're trying to replicate.
Where can they make cartoons of us? Can I be fucking huge?
I think so. Yeah.
All right. The watchables. I got three games. Saints Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
It's in New Orleans. And I think I still kind of believe in this Carolina team as at least a possible playoff team. I really don't think there's much of a difference with them and the Saints.
Hmm.
They actually kind of remind me of each other in some ways. Saints I have only because I think people really overrate them a little bit. I have Saints by 6.
All right. I said 7. It's up to 7.5.
Yeah.
This would have been much more interesting. If they were 4-2 against the 3-2 Saints, we get one more week without McCaffrey. I know people don't think it doesn't matter, but I think there's one more.
No,
week
it matters.
Yeah.
Mike Davis is good, but it would be nice if they also had McCaffrey.
80-yard run every now and then. Yeah.
I think Michael Thomas is on pace to play in this game unless he punches somebody. Yeah.
Check with a parole officer.
There were weird stories about him.
Why is nobody's even supposed to be near each other? Why are they starting fights? Like, I don't get it.
Apparently he's an intense guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like one of those guys. And they talked to him during the off season about, hey man, you know, we're on a big team here. Like when you act certain ways, it affects the team. Kind of sounded like they were talking about our friend Brad. It's like, hey, Brad, come on, man.
Yeah. Sound like some of our parent corners. I know. Yeah.
But it was going great. And then it all fell apart when he punched the D-back on the other team, who's apparently also chippy.
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
Whole thing was weird.
We didn't get to talk about that Tampa-New Orleans game. But I'm sorry, not Chargers-New Orleans game. That was excellent. Who's your favorite team that's not your favorite team?
I mean, how about this? What was my favorite bet that I lost at the last second this year? Because I have 7 nominees. I can't believe I didn't have the Texans today.
The Chargers were one of them? Is that what you're going to say?
I had the Chargers and the Vikings money lines last week.
Yeah. All right. So here's what I'm thinking, though. But that's a different thing. Like, your favorite team that's not your favorite team has to be a team that you just like to watch and don't have money on. Like, I feel like you should have that separate. Like, I don't care if the Chargers win or lose. You know, I just like watching Justin Herbert and I like watching their defense and they're fun. So if I could keep that separate, it's hard, but if I could keep the betting separate from my second favorite team, it's the Chargers.
This is a really good game. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I answered this correctly.
Don't fuck this up.
Chargers are a candidate. Neither New York team is a candidate. Colts not a candidate anymore. I would say Chargers won. Carolina would be backup, but Seattle doesn't count, right?
No, Seattle's too good. Well, yeah, I know.
Seattle's too good, right?
You're back in love with Russell again. You could say Cincinnati.
No, because I am always worried Burrow's going to get killed.
All right. So there's
Herbert. The Chargers are always exciting because if they're winning, they might mm-hmm. screw up because of some shaky coaching thing or a dumb play or something.
Right.
And if they're behind, I always feel like they're going to score.
Yeah. So I want to try not to bet them. I want to try not to bet them so I could just watch them and kind of just enjoy them.
It's almost like you want to just have a platonic friendship with somebody over letting having the sex ruin it.
Well, you know why? Because every year I pick up another team that I hate. And this year it's the Titans. I might have picked up 3 teams. Oh, I have to split Tampa and New England because they're not on the same team now. So I need teams that I like too. And that's going to be my new mission.
Do you hate Brady because he won all the Super Bowls or because he cost you so much money over the years? Or both?
Does it have to be one? Yeah, no, it's both. It's mostly because you like him so much. But now you don't like him. So I don't know what to think.
By the way, Russell Wilson was the judge of our argument last week about whether Minnesota should have gone for the 2-point or not.
What did he say?
He said he thought they should try to end it. Because if they didn't end it, he was going to come down and score. So you were right.
Right. Yeah.
Judge Russ. Next game. I think that line's too high. I mean, for two reasons. One, the Panthers could absolutely win the game. And two, even if they're down 14 with 2 minutes left, they could get a cheap touchdown. They got receivers that can make plays.
Still no fans in that building? I'm always confused as to, that's high then, I guess.
That has the potential for a tease that could fuck over a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Next watchables, Packers at Houston. I have this as a watchable just because I really enjoy Romeo with the mask on. It's like a new gimmick. He's like a superhero now.
Right.
I would always enjoy betting against him over the years, and him with the mask on is really great. He also seems like a great guy. I know we're making fun of him, but he just hasn't been a successful head coach. So
right.
It's a nice thing to have in your back pocket.
Great guy. Cost me $1,500. Terrific guy.
This one, Packers. You know, coming off an embarrassing loss, got a little Aaron Rodgers versus Deshaun. Is it strange Deshaun season? This was the first game he kind of looked like Deshaun. Mm. I have the Packers by 3 at Houston.
Hey, you got that. I don't know why I went higher. It is 3 exactly. I said 5.5. I just, I don't know. I look at 4-1 versus 1-5. Texans might be used to losing, but do we even say the Texans need it more at this point? At what point do you write them off? We're not crossing them off. There's too many 1-1 teams, but.
Yeah. I don't know. 9-7 could still make it.
Yeah, I guess so.
The problem for them is their defense is terrible.
Right.
They just can't stop anybody. So I don't know what.
I read about their run defense after I made the bet. And I'm like, oh, shit. Derrick Henry's just going to go crazy. But, you know, you like seeing him. Like when Fuller stretches the field and just like run in a straight line, just outruns everybody. Like, that's, you should see that more from this team.
But you figure Fuller or Cooks, one of them won't make it to 3 weeks from now with some sort of something.
True.
So those guys have trouble being healthy. Yep. The only other watchable game I have, just because it's Russell versus Kyler Murray, is Seahawks Cards. Mm-hmm. I also think unless the Seahawks are playing somebody terrible, I think they have to be either watchable or barely watchable.
Sure.
I have the Seahawks by 3.5 in that one.
I think there's a little cheating going on. It is 3.5. I went higher. I said 5.5. I thought Cardinals short week. I don't know. You just can't bet against him anymore. Here's the thing. Really?
If your guy, the redheaded rifle, rifle? The redheaded rifle. If he sticks it to the Cards Monday night, that line goes to Seahawks by 6.
Right.
So if you think Dallas is going to win, you're almost better off parlaying Dallas with Seahawks -3.5 because that line will go up to at least 5.
It should go up. I don't know. Seahawks coming off a bye. Cardinals short week. Not as good.
We have a lot of games left. Most of them are bad. We're going to take one break. Let's take a break. Talk about ZipRecruiter. Businesses have had to be flexible this year, from working remotely to pivoting their business models for long-term survival and growth. We have certainly been an example of that. We went from thinking that we couldn't do a lot of our podcasts remotely to doing them all remotely. So if you're in charge of hiring for your business, these pivots have made your job even more challenging, especially if you have to hire for brand new roles. Thankfully, there's one place you can always count on to make hiring faster and easier. ZipRecruiter.com/BS. When you post a job there, it gets sent out to over 100 top job boards with one click. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job. Need skills and experience. And actively invites them to apply. It's no wonder 4 to 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself right now. Try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/BS. All right. Barely watchables. We have 5. First one is Falcons-Lions. This just has all the makings of, with 30 seconds left, somebody will have the ball. The announcer's voice will be very high-pitched and excited. And it'll be a weird score, 32-29.
This Chris Myers gets this game.
Chris Myers.
No question.
Have some coffee before, maybe at halftime to get ready for the fourth. And something terrible will happen in the last 30 seconds. I have the Falcons at home by 2.5 over the lines.
We split it. I said 3.5. It is 3. There's no way these teams haven't played 4 times this year against each other. I refuse to believe it.
They should just switch uniforms and just continue the season in different cities.
Run a scrimmage.
Next barely watchable, Browns Bengals. We've seen this game. It was actually semi-fun. It's in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Browns will be favored by 3, and I kind of like the Bengals.
We split this also. It's 3.5. I said 4. You say barely watchable, huh? I think it's watchable.
Really?
I don't know. Well, it depends how the injuries shake out, right? If we're seeing Case Keenum, it's not watchable anymore.
Would you be able to tell between Case Keenum and Baker Mayfield? Because I would not. I guess the uniform number would
help. The announcer says, Case, slow to get up.
Cowboys at Washington. God only knows where this line's going to go after tomorrow night. I'm gonna say Cowboys by 5.
I went too high here. I said 6. It's 4. Hmm. I don't know what you do at Washington. They won a month ago, and everybody's like, yeah, they're still good. They're still frisky. Like, I don't know. They lose by double digits almost every week. And today, they were down. They've been down 14 or more in every single game, even the game they won.
The Haskins thing is tough. That seems like a complete whiff. That's tough. He was like the 15th pick.
They must really hate him. And he must be like, what the hell is going on? Kyle Allen, Alex Smith.
Well, he was unplayable, though. He was so bad.
Right.
I don't know. What do you do if you're Ron Rivera? It's like, I can't play this guy who can't play football.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he seems to be okay with the other 21 guys he has that can't play football. No, I don't know. It's a tough call for them. Do you, I know people get mad at me for this, but comeback player of the year, Alex Smith, was minus 400, like midweek. I don't know. I know it's a great story, but Big Ben makes the playoffs. Cam makes the playoffs. God forbid.
I gotta
Stafford
say, my pick would
playoffs.
Be Gostkowski. That guy was was in a coffin week one. Has anybody ever won it just for their performance in a year?
He did. What did he have? 3 straight games with 50 yarders to win, right?
He missed 3 field goals and a PAT.
That was fun.
Not only did it seem like he was going to be waived, it seemed like he was just going to go on a boat and we'd never see him again. And now he's like money.
We joked about that. He was 60-1 to start the season. You could probably get him around the same. But I don't know. I don't give it to Alex Smith right away.
I agree. Chiefs, Broncos. This is in Denver. And again, I'm just warning you, America, the Broncos are pretty good. They're not a bad football team. I was impressed. I thought they did a nice job. I thought up until the last 5 minutes when Fanny Pack Fangio got involved or his coordinator or whatever, and Locke's throwing it downfield. All they have to do is just run the ball. We're not moving the ball. Mm-hmm. Just run the ball, kill clock, punt, and you're going to win because we can't do anything. We have Julian Edelman throwing multiple passes in the same game. When he threw the pass in the Baltimore playoff game like 6 years ago, it was like the first time they'd ever had him throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to throw it twice today. Like that's desperate.
That's what I said.
He
should never
fucking
throw. Well, but Drew, this is a different game. Drew Locke's not going to be able to go 10 for 24 and stay close, right?
But he might not have been healthy still, though, right? He's coming back.
Yeah.
He wasn't even going to play a week ago.
What do you have for this one?
I have the Chiefs by 7.5.
Oh, man. Edging me out here. I said 7. It's 8.5.
See, that looks like a classic teaser, and I'm afraid of it.
Why can't I beat you in this? Shit. It's 8-5, and we have 4 games left. 5 games.
I'm winning, right?
Yeah.
Well, here's one I think we should think about teasing is the Chargers at home against the Jaguars.
Mm.
I have the Chargers by 6.
I said 6 also. It's 8. No, we're not betting the Chargers. We're just going to root for it. We're just going to watch them and enjoy.
It's your platonic team?
That's it. It's my platonic team.
I'm just going to read you the last couple Jags games. After they started out the season, well, they beat Indy, lose to Tennessee by 3, almost won.
Mm-hmm.
Killed by Miami by 18. Lose to Cincy by 8. They lose to Houston by 16. They lose to Detroit by 18. The Jaguars are who we thought they were. They threw us off the scent that first week. They stink.
They in Washington team, right? They're like, people still hanging on for hope with them.
Even at least like Washington almost won today.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They They lost by one.
Yeah, Detroit killed Jacksonville. You're right. I like Jacksonville today. I think I might be done with them for a while.
Chargers, watch out for the tease. All right, next category is COVID corner. We have the Patriots again. God only knows what other COVID discoveries we're going to have over the next few days. They're playing the Niners. Resurgent Niners. I don't know whether I'm buying in or not. I thought Collinsworth did a nice job of pointing out how fucking careful they were with Jimmy G in that game. They were were throwing quick drops, short passes, handoffs, play action. We're not asking. And then gradually they eased him in, but he was playing with the lead the whole time. That was like your perfect Jimmy G situation. I still didn't think he looked great. I have the Patriots favored by 3.
I said 4.5. It is 5.5. Yeah, it's like,
that's too high.
Let's look at Jimmy G's ankle last week. Now let's look at his ankle this week. Now let's look at his ankle when he was in middle school. You know what? Two things. First of all, I'm going to give props to Belichick. Between the COVID, the current COVID guy sitting out, and the 6 that opted out, if they do anything close to a playoff run here, I think he should win Coach of the Year. I really do. I don't see any like 14
we don't have a lot of talent.
No, that would be pretty spectacular.
We had no offensive line by the end of the game today.
The other thing I want to check is I didn't check who I took in our eliminator pool. I either took the Patriots or the Dolphins, and I went back and forth about it all week. Who did you take? Did you take the Patriots?
I lost in the eliminator pool in week one. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm long gone.
Oh, all right. I'm afraid to look, but I'm pretty sure it's the Patriots.
Belichick is Coach of the Year and Worst Executive of the Year. He's going to win both.
The dog gets an assist.
The poop-fecta. Mm-hmm. This is a really good one. Bills at the Jets.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. At some point, they're just going to make the Bills line so high that it's going to be even hard to pick them, even if you're in a picks pool for whatever. But I have the Bills by 11.5 in this one.
Yeah, you get it. I said 10. I was like, you got to start with 10. Doesn't matter if the Jets are home or away, right? You start at 10. They're 0-6 against the spread. It's 11. So you get that one.
And yeah, I mean, I would say it's the Jets are worse off at home, right?
Yeah, probably.
Depressing, empty stadium, but the couple people in there just kind of like the janitor booing.
Yeah, you know, right. A few ghosts, maybe a cat, black cat and a ghost. That's it. Yeah. Boy, that's such a bad team that you have to watch.
I was going to say, we try to avoid hyperbole on this show. The Jets are one of the worst teams I've ever seen. the combo of Flacco and Gore as your quarterback running back is just iconic.
Yeah.
Frank Gore is 37. Flacco was done 4 years ago. He was done.
Right.
He was done. Like, he wasn't stopped being a starting quarterback 4 years ago.
The only saving grace is that the fans don't have to pay to see it, right? Like, you imagine how miserable everybody would be in that stadium if they had to watch this team. Did they miss a field goal to avoid a shutout? Like, it gets funnier and funnier as the 3 hours progress.
Flacco threw 44 times. And couldn't even get to 200 yards.
No.
He was 186 yards. He had a QBR of 11.1. Mm-hmm. Like, QBR, it's like 30 is bad. 11.1, like you're almost at zero. Frank Gore was their leading rusher, 11 carries for 46 yards. And then and Perriman and Crowder, I guess those guys aren't terrible.
Tua came in and almost outscored Flacco. In a 2 minute, we're going to kill the clock, basically journey. They're like, you're going to throw one pass. Can you beat Flacco? He scored 0. What can you do? And Flacco, you saw that whole thing where he's, 170 yards away from Joe Montana? Is there going to be like a ceremony for that?
Hench was really upset about that.
That's going to take 3 weeks to overcome, but still. Joe Montana.
I'm just horrified by the Jets. And if this is all for Trevor Lawrence, that's great. But I really actually don't think it's all for Trevor Lawrence. I think they're just completely incompetent.
Yeah.
The Le'Veon Bell contract made no sense when it happened. Nobody thought it was going to work.
I'm horrified for Trevor Lawrence. That's what I'm horrified for.
They've scored 75 points. They've given up 185. They're at minus 110 already, which mm-hmm. actually seems kind of low. But
how many games? Six?
Six games.
So almost...
minus 110. Yeah, it's almost 20 a game. It's like 18 a game.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Miami's 3-3, and they're plus 47 for the season.
Yeah.
And they have this Tua card that at any point, I mean... If they want to get their fans excited, people are excited he came in for 2 minutes today. It was right. People, I got five texts about it.
Right.
But if they play that card like halfway through the season, I mean, if the football gods got involved and they wanted him to play, then mm-hmm. Fitzpatrick will like pull a hamstring or something, right?
They should play separate that card with their fans if they come back. Like, hey, we're at worst the second best team in the AFC East. Come watch us.
Yeah. I know what you're doing.
It's sad.
Oh man, God, Ryan Izzo over the middle is just not cutting it.
Oh man,
it's just not like Gronk. Just isn't the same.
He'll grow.
We're the greatest tight end of all time. Now we have Ryan Izzo.
He'll grow into the role. You'll see. You'll see. There's time.
Oh my God. Sunday night, Bucks Raiders.
This is 3 weeks in a row prime time for Tampa Bay.
This is in Nevada.
Yeah,
state of Nevada. Yeah. Bucks are entertaining though. I think that's a good team to be on TV a lot. I have mm-hmm. the Bucks favored by 3 in Vegas.
Okay, you get it. I said 1.5. It is 2.5.
Mm.
Now your guy Gronk, how does he behave in Vegas? Do they have to worry about him? Is Brady going to have to bail him out? Is he going to get married? What's he going to do?
Probably put him in a cage.
Yeah, they might put him in the cage with Tyson's Tigers.
he looked pretty good today. I got to say, I thought the first couple games he looked completely washed. I was bummed out.
He did.
But this game, he was like athletic. They ran that one, the old play. They stopped running for him probably 2 years before he left the Pats, when he starts on the right but goes all the way across the field toward the out-of-bounds line, and they kind of lob it.
Mm-hmm.
He like they couldn't run that play for him the last year. It was too slow.
No, even the touchdown just to get his feet down. It was pretty athletic. Yeah,
looked pretty good.
He's back.
He's back. Monday night, Rams Bears. This is in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just guessing the Bears are going to be a very popular pick.
People
are going to make the case for the Bears. I think the line ends up Bears. I think this line's a pick 'em by game time.
I see.
I think a lot of money is going to be in the Bears, all that stuff.
Yeah, sure. You don't? Sure. No, you're joking.
You don't agree?
Right? Everybody hates the Bears, don't they?
Rams, Bears?
Everybody hates the Bears every week. You think it's going to be a pick 'em? What do you think it is?
I just think the money is going to go to the Bears. I have the Rams by 1.5 over the Bears.
Oh,
but
wow.
I think it ends up being a pick-em.
No, I had 5. It's 6.5. I should get 4 wins for that.
That makes no sense to me.
Rams are home, you know.
So what? The home field advantage doesn't even matter anymore.
Oh, I thought maybe you were reading the matchup wrong.
Wait, you watch football day to day. Who looked better, the Bears or the Rams?
Well, hold on. Everybody hated the Bears before today. Everyone's like, they're the worst 5-1 team of
Bears
all time.
The Bears just beat the Bucks, and they just beat the Panthers. Those teams are good.
I'm the one who won't bet against them. Yeah.
Listen, I have a Rams to win the NFC bet. I was in on the Rams, but I'll just read you their wins, and you tell me if you're impressed. They beat your shitty team in week 1.
How dare you? That was
they
a good
beat
win
Philly.
Back.
They lost to Buffalo. They beat the crap Giants. They beat the Washington football team, and they lost to San Francisco by 8.
They're 4-0
against. What's their good win?
They should win the NFC East because they're 4-0 against the NFC.
Yeah, they've proven they're the best NFC East team. I don't know if I have no idea if they're actually good.
Their good win was against their loss against the Bills. They won that game. They got jobbed.
True, but they were also down 28-3 in that game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't believe I'm coming around on the Bears.
I know, really.
To me, that's like a 3-point line max.
Well, I guess coming off a loss, Bears are traveling. I don't know. Maybe it's a lot.
Bye weeks, Colts, Dolphins, Vikings, Ravens. So you could see, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Mike Zimmer got fired, right? You fire a coach for the bye week, get 2 weeks.
Zimmer before Gase.
They can't fire Gase. He's their best asset right now. He really is. What do you have for a World Series line? Did you find
Did we cross anyone off yet?
Oh.
What do we do with these teams? I forget where we are even with this. I'll look for the thing while you figure out the cross.
I'll tell you the cross off teams. We had we crossed off the Jets last week. Smart.
Mm-hmm.
So we've crossed off the Bengals and the Jets so far.
We crossed off the Bengals before the Jets. Oh, I guess because they're in that dynamite division. All right.
Yeah.
So now we have a lot of choices here.
Yeah, but we have to be prudent.
Let's not do Minnesota because they don't play.
I got to be honest. I think Minnesota's a cross off.
Really?
They're 1-5, and they're 3.5 games behind the second place team. They would have to go 8-2 just to have a chance to get the 7th seed. Like, what are the odds they're going to go 8-2?
Well,
that'd be one of my picks. The other one would be
the Falcons.
I know who
we
should cross off.
Yeah.
No, it should be Jacksonville. We got to cross them off. They're not making the playoffs. They're terrible.
Yeah, I guess you have to go Jacksonville.
They're three games back.
Before
Houston. It's got to be Jacksonville.
It's got to be Jacksonville before Houston, right? And with the same record. The only thing I'm thinking is Atlanta, because now it's an easier conference, but Carolina, New Orleans, and Tampa could make it there, right? All right, we'll make it easy on ourselves. Jaguars are gone.
If you're betting your life on this, you would pick Jacksonville.
That's it. You're right. Yeah, they're not coming back.
What's the baseball line?
Dodgers -210. I don't see any individual games yet. But
Dodgers -210. That's way too high. Tampa's really good.
Got Kershaw 1-4-7. I don't know.
All right, it's time for Parent Corner, brought to you by CarMax. Experience car shopping your way at CarMax. Thanks to our friends there. There are more ways than ever to shop, test drive, and buy a great used car. Buy online at CarMax.com. Have your dream car delivered or start online, pick it up with CarMax curbside. And if you're an in-person kind of person, the friendly folks at your local CarMax are ready to help you shop, test drive, and buy the perfect car for you. Can end up like nephew Kyle. He's had a great car for the last year. It's car shopping your way at CarMax, buy online or at a CarMax near you today. All right, Sal, what do you got?
I'm going to sound like an a-hole father here, but I guess that's the idea behind these. I don't know if I told you, like my 12-year-old now, your son gets the Amazon things differently, right? He has a card, or how does he do it? How does he order from Amazon? He gets gift cards?
He gets a gift card, and then they put in the numbers.
Yeah. My kids are lazy. They have Amazon gift cards, but they go on my computer and leave up items from the WWE store or something that they want me to buy. And it's like an ADD thing. I kind of have to get rid of it. And I feel like, I don't know, I'm in a pandemic spendy mood anyway. So I'll pay $18 for the Bray Wyatt with the mask, even though they have 3 Bray Wyatt wrestlers downstairs. I'm like, just to get rid of it. So
yeah.
But now the gig's up, and now they know that's what I'm doing. And now they've upped the ante. And I saw, what are those birds? Macatees? No, macaws? Was it macaw, right?
Yeah.
Fucking $750. The kid wants a bird. I'm like, no way. So I'm shutting this down. I'm letting them, I hope they're listening right now. No more putting items on my computer for me to buy. The Bray Wyatt's fine. I'm not buying a $700 bird. Not having a damn bird in the house. That wasn't really the paracord. The other one was...
Wait, well, hold on.
Yeah.
Their strategy is...
They just put it up on the computer.
You're a sap. You have ADD. They know you like buying things. And they just put things on your computer.
Yes.
Hoping that you'll go, fuck it. And just buy it.
Shoes and just the stuff. And they know, like, I have to X out the window on top. But I feel bad Xing it out without, like, making something. And then, you know... And then it comes in as I'm father of the year when it comes in the mail. So that part's nice. But they're completely taking advantage now. We don't need goddamn $1,000 birds. That's
for sure. That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't like that. Also crazy. My youngest son, he plays this Roblox thing. It's like the kind of adventure game and everything. He plays with his buddy and the guy's sister too. And I think I told the story about it. The grandmother plays. And we got a text from the mother saying, hey, your son told my daughter to shut the F up because she killed him in this game. So this is Saturday morning. And we're like, my wife's like, all right, the whole weekend, no iPad. And you have to write an apology letter to this girl. I was like, yeah, that seems fair. That's good. But guess what that meant? I had to spend the whole weekend with him. I had to like do shit with him. I had to like watch TV and we had to like go for walks.
Entertain him.
Yeah, it wasn't like a 3-hour walk with Rembert. Like I had to actually go walk with this kid who like walks slow and everything. So I'm a shitty father. But by like Saturday night, I'm like, hey, can we let him Sunday? Maybe like, no, he has to abide by this. I'm like, all right, God. So to all kids out there, if you're going to tell someone to shut the F up, make sure it's like Saturday night. So you get just like one day of punishment.
That's there tough. The Saturday morning punishment is a tough
first
one.
Thing, it like could have happened on like a Tuesday. I know. It was really bad.
So how many days is the suspension?
No, he's good now. He got through the weekend, but because he wrote an apology letter and everything. But yeah, these games take their toll on these little brats.
My daughter had a practice in Santa Monica last week and I had to kill like an hour and a half. So I was listening podcast in my car, and then I'm like, all right, I wonder if Target's open. Drive to this Target, it's not open. I'm driving back and I see a Halloween store, like you know those pop-up Halloween stores with all the masks and stuff. Go in, I end up getting a few things, including a really nice Pennywise mask from It. Really creepy, scary. Yeah. But I bought a couple other things too, like I bought a chainsaw, I bought another Michael Myers mask because Ben ruined the last one. So come home and I have all the stuff. So Ben's got the chainsaw and the Michael Myers mask, doing the whole thing. Doesn't know that I have the Pennywise mask. So then I coordinate with Zoe. And at some point I go up and I go into his closet and I just wait there for 20 minutes. And then Zoe lures Ben up to his room and he's hanging out. And then I pushed the closet open and came out as Pennywise and scared the living shit out of him. That mask is scary. I was so psyched. It never works when you're trying to scare your kids, right? They always catch you or they know. I fucking got him. So that was great.
Did he vow revenge or he laughed?
I put it on my Instagram story so you can see the mask because he's been wearing it ever since. No, he's vowed revenge. So he's been playing 2K constantly because he broke his foot and then his foot was getting healthy and now it's healthy. So he started playing basketball again. And my wife and I were talking. She looks out. She's like, oh my God. And sees Ben. He's rolling around outside in the basketball court holding his leg. She's like, oh my God, he got hurt. So we run out and he's like, no, I'm fine. And we're like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm in a sports movie. I was just pretending I got hurt.
Oh.
Which was cool, except like he turns 13 in 2 weeks. I don't
know. What does he mean? So anyway, he's in a sports movie.
He was playing basketball outside pretending he was in a sports movie. Oh. And in the movie, the guy got hurt. So he was rolling around.
Was it Space Jam 2?
So rolling around. I don't know what movie it was. So that happened. And then the other thing, I was in the house the other day getting salad and I hear him like, dad, I got 10 seconds left. I go in and he had finished an NBA 2K season and he was about to win the title. So he wins the title. It's like, yeah. His guy had 82 points because he's playing at all-star level. He was trying to get, he's like, you think I'll win the finals MVP? He was averaged like 70 points a game in the finals. Man, I think you got it. Yeah. Plays this whole season. Wins the title, ends up becomes a free agent because it's my career. Got signed by the Lakers. And half of me was like, I just can't believe this pandemic, like what it's wreaked, the stupidity it's wreaked across America. The other half was like kind of jealous because remember those days when you'd play the whole video game season?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you did that, right? NHL 94.
Right.
All the Madden seasons. It's kind of like fun to watch it vicariously.
Yeah, it's great. Except he got signed by the Lakers. You must have been bummed by that.
And was excited about it. He said they had the highest rating and it was a great move. I'm like, this is the worst thing. You just continue to hurt my feelings.
I'm going back to my salad. Leave me alone.
I'm finding the balsamic and I'm out of here. So anyway, action-packed week at my house. What are you doing about Halloween?
Nice. I was just going to ask you. So your trick-or-treating's out, right? It's outlawed.
As you know, I live in a big Halloween neighborhood, and we get like, you know, 1,500 people here, but there's going to be no Halloween. But I do feel like a lot of those people are going to show up anyway.
I think so, too. I'm looking at the Nextdoor app and everything. It seems like they're going to, because you have the walk streets down here by the beach, which is just, you know, just 20 people living on a street with no cars. So those will be alive, I think.
It feels like a COVID nightmare.
Yeah. Well, if everyone's wearing a mask, you know.
We're thinking, could you throw candy? Like, make it so that nobody can come within 15 feet and you throw the candy at them?
I feel like we're trick-or-treating usually anyway, and we keep all the candy outside. So I think we'll just keep it outside, not answer the door.
This is when COVID becomes real.
Yeah.
It's not just the massive economic devastation and all the deaths. It's like when Halloween gets canceled, it's a sacred day.
That's it.
Now we can't even have Halloween. Like, this fucking sucks. When is this going to end?
This is a fat country. Not to mention,
like, the country's in the fucking toilet with Biden and Trump and the debate that's going to be awful. And,
right. Yeah. Ugh. Everybody wants their Hershey's Kisses. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be these are the gravy days when we have 10 to 13 games on a Sunday. 4 weeks is going to be, you know, battles in the streets, and we're going to have like 3 Sunday games, and that'll be it.
Biden's minus 180. But you're saying we can't bet it.
Can't do it. Can't do it. Although the Astros losing makes me think that maybe all evil won't prevail. Who knows?
So what's Trump? Plus 140? We don't just buy it. We don't put our stink on Trump and just buy the Trump.
Buy Trump?
Win for Biden? What is it now?
I don't even want to know. I sent you last year. Someone sent 4 years ago at this time. Hillary was 92% winner.
Oh, Biden's minus 165 now. Yeah. Trump's plus 145. What happens if the election, if it just drags on for like 3 weeks as we have like a huge, I don't even know if you're able to cash the bet.
Well, that's the thing. So you know how it is. Like last time we bet the states and everything. And I don't want to say anything, but how we got this in, you know, they're not even dealing with the states. They're like, fuck this. We're not taking these bets anymore. These states could declare a winner in 2027. Who knows how this is going to go.
Right.
So a lot of these places aren't even taking those bets.
So you think this is the last two relatively normal weeks when things seem fine.
Enjoy. Yep.
Oh, I meant to tell you this. I should have said this sooner. There's a lot of indication the NBA might start a lot sooner than anybody thought.
Really?
Yeah.
How are they going to do that? Like they want to wait as long as they can without fans, right? Or with
I think the thinking is, I mean, Christmas would be the ideal, but I don't think they could pull it together that fast. But if you do it by like Martin Luther King weekend range, somewhere between Christmas, Martin Luther King weekend, the thinking is this next season is screwed now. Because fans aren't going to be back till God only knows, April, May, who knows. Mm-hmm. But they have to preserve the season after. So the later they wait to start this season, the more it fucks with the next season.
Sure.
So
unless they don't play every game, right?
Well, the move, which I think they're starting to talk themselves into, and I know they have talks about it this week with the networks and stuff, but you bite the bullet, you start it sooner than later, you go like 72 games, 70 games, something like that. Get rid of the All-Star break. You try to do like when Denver comes to LA to play the Lakers and the Clippers, they just play, you know, 4 games in a row in LA over the course of 6 days. So then they don't have to travel. Right. You rig it all these different ways and you try to get it done by like mid-July.
Well, so you said, when are the Olympics? July 23rd.
The Olympics, they don't care about because what they care about is making up money.
Well, the Olympics aren't until July.
The players care about it.
They're not until July 23rd anyway, so they could get done by then.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. But they need to preserve the next season. So that's what they're thinking about. And they have to figure out a CBA. They'd have to add different things to it.
So that idea that they start Christmas and that's how they're going to do it from now on, that's got 0%. Because I think some people were behind that. So when you talk about preserving the next year, like if they want to start Christmas, then they have some leeway here, right?
Well, the thing that they learned is that nobody watches television in August, regardless of whether there's a pandemic or not. Mm-hmm. Like, the ratings just aren't going to be as good.
Right.
And then September, it was a catastrophe going against football and, you know, and then the election every 4 years, things like that. Yep. So, you know, what really worked was like having the fucking finals in June and then the off season in July, and you own those 2 months.
Yeah, I guess so.
So they want to get back to that or some version of that. So mm-hmm. to do that, you've got to start the next season sooner than later. But I was surprised because I had thought it wasn't going to start till March, April, but now it seems like it's going to be sooner.
All right. Sooner's good. I'll get you those Luka odds when they pop up. I didn't see them.
I'll tell you this, man. If it could come back MLK weekend, mm-hmm. even like that red is football starting to crest down. Yeah. Assuming like the world hasn't blown up yet and we still have a functioning society, basketball coming, it would be nice.
I want it all. I want it all to come back. I don't want it ever to go away. I just, it was a good week, right? Monday, Tuesday with the testing, not great. A little false positive. That's my new attitude, Bill. I'm false positive. I'm going to deep down inside. I know it's doom and gloom, but I'm going to, it's going to appear like I'm happy and, looking forward to the future. False positive.
I like that. That should be the title of your second book. False positive by Cousin Sal. That was Parent Corner brought to you by CarMax. Experience car shopping your way at CarMax. Sal, what do you got to plug?
Oh, all right. Against all odds. Listen to us. These guys are red hot. The Parlay Kid hit three in
Who's
a row.
Who's hot?
These Parlay Kids won like three in a row. Harry won three in a row. It's not just NASCAR bullshit anymore. But you have to join and subscribe and rank and rate and do all that on the Extra Points website or go to Spotify or wherever. Hit the blue one. We're not on the Ringer anymore. Simmons said, take your friends and get the hell out of here. We don't want your junk anymore. We got people like Sharp.
It's the Extra Points edition. Against all odds, Extra Points edition.
Yes, I have to say it that way. Against all odds, Extra Points edition.
But then you also have the pod with Damashek and Charlotte.
Yes, I do. I was told to just focus on this one because you can't. This is how we're doing it. But yes, Extra Points is the flagship show Monday, Wednesday, Friday with Charlotte Wilder and Dave Damashek. And there's a lot more. But do Against All Odds because, it's not on the Ringer anymore. And Fox Bet Live, 5 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday on FS1. And I'll be on the Thursday Night Football pregame show for the Giants and Eagles.
That's exciting. All right. Good to see you. Good job by you.
It's really good to see you, too. Good job by you.
All right. Thanks to Cousin Sal. Don't forget about the Rewatchables coming Monday. We did the 5-year anniversary of a really great movie that won an Oscar. It's called Spotlight. And one of the most important journalism movies ever made. Me, Chris Ryan Rossello. That is coming Monday night. Look out for that. And we will see you on this feed on Tuesday.